So let me just be up to Halacha Aleph, Us Yud Beis, if you have the page, Us Yud Beis, if you read Hebrew. So let me just go back on what the Saluch is based on. What he's explaining over here is that we all are subject to go through a depression. Some people suffer just from depression. Some of us just the regular ups and downs in life. Life has ups, life has downs. And one of the things that Rav Nachman explains is the Yetzer Hara does to us, he really brings into us a hopelessness. I am hopeless. Well, you know, my Yiddishkeit, what I'm going to do already, my davening, you know, my doing the mitzvah, the bracha, keeping something, taras and mashpacha, it's hopeless. That's part of the Yetzer Hara. And just for the record, Rav Nachman said, this is going to be the big challenge people before Mashiach comes. It's a huge challenge because we have a certain type of a hopelessness in us. And how to overcome it? So he explains, you should focus on the good things that you have. You should get up and tell yourself, it's not the end of the world. It's just the way I feel. Baruch Hashem, I did this mitzvah, I did that mitzvah, I got someone to smile, I got, you know, anything that you find good. And you should, you know, collect all your good deeds and smile with your good deeds. That helps a person to come out of his gloom, of his darkness, of his feeling of worthlessness. It really makes a person feel, you know, life is worth living. You know, it gives a, you know, and this is extremely important. This is one of the famous things that Nachum spoke about it, and the rest of research printed it in English in a pamphlet called Azamru, because it's based on the pasuk Azamru lalakai, I sing to Hashem ba'oidi. Oidi, I explained, is a name of an instrument, but the Nachum translated ba'oi, and the small points that I find in myself. Okay. So now, he had a long piece till now, and he's going to explain the Nasi, many of the things. And one of the things he's explaining now, it's Us Yud Beis, you know, there's four parashiyos we read beginning of Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis next month. It's called Parshas Shkolem, Parshas meaning Amalek, and Parshas, the four, it's called Arbuah Parshiyos. Now you can explain that these four parshiyos, what you learn, has a power to take us out of our gloominess. He says, Shkolem is tzedakah. He says when a person gives tzedakah, it literally helps a person get in touch with his goodness. You know, I know from my own experience, I went through a very tough time once in my life. You know what I did? I went to the hospital, visited the sick. It made me feel great. You do kindness to others, give tzedakah, it mamish makes you feel great. So, and he explains it because Avram is called, he explained it for Avram, is called chesed. And by doing kindness, you literally have Hashem look at you in a kind way. You get in touch with the goodness. The kindness and the goodness is one. Giving shkolem makes you in touch with the kudus toivus of the good points that there is. That's what he explains. The pasuk says, tzedek yikrui lelagov. Tzedek means with righteousness, it calls my legs. It helps doing good deeds, helps us. And you should try it out. If you ever, we all go through, whenever. We go through our tough times. When I go through a tough time, I get onto the phone. And I try to cheer someone up. It really makes you feel great. And or if you could afford it, just give tzedakah, help someone. It literally brings a person out the goodness. That's called Parsha Shkolim. Then this Parsha Zocher, you know, we read Parsha Zocher right before Purim. You know, it says by Amalek, what did Amalek do? Amalek, the Pasuk says, Yizanek b'cho kolanach sholem. Amalek went to the back of the camp of Kal Yisrael and he was fighting with the weak ones. Yizanek b'cho, that's a Pasuk in end of Kiseitse. He cut away, he fought against the weak ones. Ashekor chabaderech. You know, the hopelessness that we are is when we are weak. You don't feel good about yourself, emotionally weak, you're worn out, then all of a sudden, emotionally, spiritually, it's the weakness in us when we are weak, that's when we feel hopelessness, and that's when we feel like, you know, that's when the ra, the badness also comes. When you feel great, you're not, don't feel so mean. Feel good about yourself, you're doing the right thing, you're full of life. When you're down in hopelessness, so then the ra, that's Amalek. Amalek, the Sefer Tevis of rak, ra, kolayoyim. You know, there's a pasuk in the end of Bereishis. Rak, ra, kolayoyim is the Sefer Tevis of Amalek. When we're down, that's when the ra, you know, kind of tells you, you know, you're hopeless. Give it up, what, you're worthless. So just that's the Amalek Pashas Zocher, is that when a person finds the goodness in himself, he could fight the badness in himself. So this is what Rav Nachman Ibn Nosson is saying, is you have to use this tool when you're down. You know, the trick is to remember this, because we go through cycles in life. So we're going through a tough time in life. The trick is right then and tell yourself, it's not, find good things about yourself. That will help. That's what Amalek is about. To remember Amalek, also to explain that he doesn't say what I always say. I always tell myself, I will have a down. See, many people live, I always say this, most people live and expect that everything should be smooth sailing. And all of a sudden, when things don't go, boom. No, we're living here to take the challenges of life. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's not difficult, sometimes it's easy. That's the challenge of life. I say the Zchilas Amalek is to remember we do have negative things in ourselves. We do have Ra, and to remember that we got to get in touch with the goodness in us. That's Zchilas, to remember Pasha Zohar, to remember that we go through a cycle. That's extremely important to remember this, because the nature of a person is, Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelet, a good day forgets a bad day. When things go good, you don't want to think about the bad times. And when you're a bad day, you think the whole, this is it. I might as well call it a quits. You know, certain people, I've been told by people, they have suicidal thoughts. Certain people don't have suicidal thoughts, but they say, you know, I can just give up. You know, whatever, that's not, you know, it's not who you are. It's the thoughts, fleeing thoughts that goes through by us when we feel down. So that's what you got to remember. Pastors are willing to remember, we do have this. That's the cycle of life. Once you gain understanding about that, you're able to grow much better. So it's like, oh, I had a tough day today. I had a gloomy day. How do I get out of my own gloominess? So you focus on the goodness that there. That's Parshas Zohar, he says. Then he explains, then we read Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah, you know what Parshas Parah is, Rabbi Yisai? That's Parshas Pura Aduma. Parshas Pura Aduma is, it runs right before Nisan. So we read that represents taking the red heifer, we burn it, we make ashes, and that, if a person was ba'alavaya, so he became kama, you sprinkle on that on him, he becomes clean. So the Gemara says a very interesting thing, let the mother come and wipe out the tsoya benoi, that, you know, small child pooped on the floor, so let the mother come clean the poop of the child. So the potter is called the mother, sort of. And what's called the child? The eagle. Because when we, unfortunate, made the gold calf, That caused death to come back into the world. If you know what happened, when Klal Yisrael got the Torah, the Bnei Shloim took away death from this world. We were not going to die anymore. Imagine. So now we did the gold calf. He brought back the death to the world. So now the Paraduma is cleaning up the mess what the gold calf did. That's the symbolic thing that we learn. So he explains the Pashas Parah represents the tshuva, the tikkun what we do. Because what happens is that, you know, when we are down, we do things that we shouldn't be doing. So now that we elevate ourselves, we do Pashas Parah, that's supposed to do our tshuva. Let's now do tshuva. Let's clean up our mess. You know, I've asked people, I'm learning that, give a shin daf yoni. So learning Sechtes Pesachim and Yuma, big part of the Sechtes talks about cleaning up the mess if things go wrong. So, you know, many of the business people says, you know, it sounds like there's so many things going on. So I asked everyone to tell me tomorrow how much energy goes to clean up the mess that goes on in the business. I was shocked what they told me. I expected better. Someone told me over 20% of his time and money goes to clean up the mess what other workers do. Someone told me it's a lot more, and I don't want to tell you how much it is. You know, I mean, that's, you know, ask any business person who does. You know, a lot of time gets, we parents clean up our children's mess. There's a part of, we got to clean up the mess that's left there. There's a percentage of that. So, anyways, what he's saying, that Potter represents doing tshuva. This is very profound. So I want you to understand this, because there's a part of us, when we do sin, we mess up. But the Rebbe Yishon gave us the gift that we could do tshuva. And this is an incredible gift that we have. Because we are humans, we struggle, and the Potter represents that we could clean the mess up that we left behind. Now there's another Kabbalistic thing he brings down. I'm going to try to explain this. The Zohar says the Parah Dima represents Din. Din means judgment, harsh. I mean, there's two types of Din: harsh judgment and soft judgment. So what does that mean? That represents, the Parah represents that when we're very harsh, you know, we go through a harsh time. Sometimes some people, when down, they really get annoyed at themselves, and they get angry at themselves. They're very, you know, how do you say in English, beat themselves up, you say? They really beat themselves up. Then is called Dina Rafia. That means the judgment is not so harsh, it's much more calmer, softer. You have to get out of the Dina Kashia. Get into Dina. How do you do that again? Is by telling you tshuva helps. Often people are hopeless and says, look what I did again. There I'm back to square one. And it tells you, no, it's true. That's the struggle that we have. And tell yourself, we could do tshuva. That represents the Parah. Pashas Parah represents we can do tshuva. We could fix and clean the mess up that we left behind. Very, very important thing, he explains. Then he says another very, very profound thing. This is not only in the Nosra Breslev, the Kotzke Rebbe said this, many of the great Hasidic masters talk about this. You know, there's a part of a person who has to be very proud about themselves. You have to feel good about yourself. Another part, if you feel too good about yourself, you become very haughty, very arrogant, and it's very dangerous. It's a very fine line, extremely fine line, to say, I feel good what I'm doing, I am doing something important in life, I'm raising a family, or I'm, you know, helping someone, I'm, you know, whatever, I made a bracha, I daven, to do the good things. But sometimes you could walk around and misguided and walk around arrogant. This could cause, it's the Parah Aduma has a very interesting concept. A person who went to Levaya must be sprinkled from the water of the ashes. But when someone sprinkles on him, the one who sprinkles becomes Tuma. The one who got the water sprinkled is Toy. So Gemara says, it's Metame Tohoirim. If the Paradim is Metame, someone to it, and Metar to Mayim. Let me explain what that means. That means is that when you guy went to Levaya, so I need someone to take some of this water and sprinkle on me. I become clean, but he becomes tummy. And there's a way to get out of his tumor. But it's very, in the same thing that's supposed to help me, it messes him up. So and this represents, Mnosno explains, that a person has to focus on the goodness on himself. But this could become dangerous too. You could walk around, do you know who I am? You can't even imagine what I am. You know what I mean? That could bring a person to great arrogancy. Or, you know, that's what a person has to know, that you're not boasting that you're more than other people. The truth is, the honest truth, no one knows how to judge us but Hashem. Because none of us know what any person goes through. You know, well, for one person is a challenge, for other person it's doesn't know what your problem is. You know, two same people have the two same issues. For one, it's nothing. For another person, it's unbearable difficult. And we don't, the only one who could judge really is Hashem to know. Because we, you know, the Gemara says the people sit in the back of the room, and the next world they could sit upstairs in the front of the room. Because they did the best that they could do. And someone who's very bright and very, you know, is gifted, he doesn't know what he was able to do. So the only one who could judge is really Hashem. You know, but the Renoson explains this could mislead a person. So he's explaining this is what the Pur Adum represents. Then the Reed Pasha Zachidish. I want to explain this in Kabbalah. This is a very deep Kabbalistic thing. You know, the moon represents something very, very powerful. Even though we know the moon doesn't have light on itself, the moon in Kabbalah, it has an incredible deep, deep, deep Kabbalistic meanings, which we could talk about it a whole day, and just the tip of the iceberg what it represents. But one of the things we do know, Chazal say, that the moon represents, like a woman has her period, it comes once a month. So the moon wanes and waxes, you say in English? It goes up and goes down. It gets more light and less light. It's a 30-day cycle. So let me explain what happened to the moon. The Gemara says like this. When Hashem created the world, He created the world with two suns. The moon says to Hashem, do you know, how could two kings run a country? Can't have two people run the place. Can't have two sons. Hashem says to the moon, you know, you're right. Can't have two. I think you should become the small one. He should become the big one. I always tell this Gemara to people when they come to criticize something in shul. Says, you're right. I think you should do it. You can't criticize unless you're willing to do it. Criticism is extremely cheap. You know what I mean? As we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. Everyone is born, doesn't need to go to classes and tell me, teach me how to criticize. I tell people, no one went to a therapist and says, dear therapist, teach me how to criticize. I don't know how to do it. Criticism, everyone can do. The moon said to Hashem that, you know, how could you have two running the same thing? Hashem says to the moon, you're right. I think you should become smaller. And so the moon became smaller and became all insulted.
The moon, which was the sun.
Together with two suns. Yeah. And Hashem says, you should become the moon and let the sun shine into you. And the moon sort of became insulted. Hashem gave him the stars. This is all metaphorically speaking. Gave him the stars. So we count our chag with the moon. You know, that we, the beginning, we say Kiddush HaChodesh. You know how we have the calendar made already for future generations. But originally, when the Besmigdish was standing, you had the two witnesses who'd watch the moon. When it comes a tiny, tiny bit, light could be seen, they would come to Beslin and say, we saw the moon. Now we don't, you know, I always tell people, the reason why people don't look up at the stars, because we have a TV, we get caught up with the nonsense. It used to be, people had no TV. So what did people do every night in the winter? They went and studied the stars. The heavens, you know, it's amazing how many cultures were so accurate. But anyways, so they went and looked and to see when the moon began, and that it was called the first day of the month, and it was a mitzvah to come with witnesses and say Kiddush HaChodesh. That's the mitzvah. So it's an incredible thing, Rav Nosson explains, that Kiddush HaChodesh means when you find just one small point about yourself or about someone else, you focus on that point could light up the whole moon. The moon could become bright. Because often, again, we are hopelessness, we self-doubt ourselves, we give up on ourselves. Sometimes all you got to focus and look at the moon. So to say a little bit of the moon, that small part of the moon that is very little, that could shine and become. And the reason it wax and wanes, because that's how our moods are. It's very important to remember, we all have ups and downs. No one has, no matter how blessed you are, your marriage is, if you're married, it has its ups and has its downs. No matter how your business is going, it has ups and has downs. Everything in life. I sat with my wife just a year ago in the hospital for 6 weeks, and I was just, you know, she had a heart transplant, but when the machines were going, the lines were going up and down, you knew she's alive. If the line would be flat, so in life, we have ups and we have downs. This is the moon. The moon has wanes and it waxes, but you should always tell yourself there is always a little bit light which could ignite and become big. And it's a mitzvah to say Kiddush HaChodesh. Now it says, he explains over here that the moon, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave the stars to appease the moon. The stars represents the Nekudas Tovus, those good points about yourself. Like each one is like a star. That means again, a person has, we all have qualities. To, you know, to, and focus on it. See, if you appreciate the good things that you do, you do it tomorrow much better. If a person, let's say, set a benching today in a nice way, and he says, wow, that was a good benching, tomorrow he'll redo it. But if you tell yourself, you know, my benching is worth nothing. Tomorrow you won't bench even. You know, you don't give it a... If you tell yourself, yes, I had a benching today. I live today. I did something today. I celebrate life today. You will celebrate tomorrow again. But he says that the focus of this is the stars represents the Nekudas Tovus, he says. To find into yourself, you know... I know the message goes into great detail over here, but this is a long piece, and the reason he talks so much about it, he says in other places, is because this is so important. And here he explains, especially before Mashiach comes, because we do suffer from moods much worse than the early generations. We don't find so much of the moods discussed in the early generations in medicine. Yeah, there were people suffer from depression, but you know, we do have there are people suffer literally from bipolar, which becomes a real illness, but we do suffer, so no one wakes up in the morning and says, yay, I'm alive! We get up in the morning and we push the snooze button once or twice, and then you ask yourself, do I really have to get out of bed? Maybe I could hide under the covers for 3 days and not face the music. You know, it takes time to get out, to get yourself going, to do the right thing. And, you know, we are annoyed at ourselves. We are annoyed at what we are. We are annoyed at things that you have to fight in ourselves. We get annoyed how we have to do business outside the world. A lot of things that annoy us. So, Russell explains that's why it's so important to always focus on the good points that you have. That gives you hope to push on. Because of the main thing of the Yetzirah is that before Mashiach is going to come, is going to become the hopelessness and the weakness that we are. The Amalek feeds on our vulnerability of our weaknesses, he says. So then he brings a pasuk, an incredible pasuk, in the end of the Neil. You know, the Neil, at the end of the Neil, it says, talks about Mashiach. Even says when Mashiach is going to come, we have no idea how to decipher those words. But there's a passage that says, I even wrote it out in English. It says, "Imazdike harabin kechovim, namaskilim yaziha kezoya rekia." The wise will shine like the radiance. That means the maskila means will shine kezoyar kia, like the heaven. Mitzdikarav and kechovim, people who teach others will be like stars. So Chazal say that the people who teach other people Torah will shine when Mashiach comes. But or everyone who learns Torah will also shine. But Reb Nosson says, the reason it says this in the end of Mashiach coming, because before Mashiach comes, this is going to be the challenge of us to find small light, like the stars, which we don't see much when it's a pitch dark outside. The stars, there's a little bit of a shine. And if you ever watched, if you ever did this, but as a hobby when I was young, I used to go watch the stars. So if you go in a pitch dark place and the stars are out, it really makes a shine. There's a shine. So each star in yourself is a shine. And you should make each star, each point of yourself important. And you should love the goodness in you. You see, we are annoyed our own shortcoming. But that's not where your mind should be occupied. Yes, I should become better, I should change. But your mind should be engulfed in, hugged and held on the good points that you have. That's what a maskilin kezoyah rekiah goes on the moon. The moon, find the good parts of the moon, let it shine into you. And what happens is, you know what happens if a person follows this advice? You fall in love with life. You love to live. I don't know if I said this over here, but let me tell you, I grew up not speaking English, believe it or not. I came to California, I spoke two languages, Yiddish and Hungarian. But I came to California, everyone spoke there, I had to learn a new language. I remember from the first weeks I'm walking here, I meet a guy on the street, and I says, "Anu, it's Shabbos, how are you doing?" "I'm hanging in." First time I heard that expression. I remember walking home thinking, what does hanging in mean exactly? And then I realized it means it's like you're hanging in. I don't want to live a life hanging in. That's not a life. I don't want to hang in. I want to live. Then I realized most people live a life, I'm hanging in. So sometimes you think only people who struggle. I've met people who don't even know how much money they have of their wealth. I mean, literally, people in my community were so wealthy that they don't even know how much money they were valued. I'm just hanging in there. I mean, these are Holocaust survivors have nothing and still hanging in there. You shouldn't live hanging in there. You should live. Nussle says that if the more you find good points about yourself, you focus on it, you'll enjoy life. Yes.
Well, I just had a question. To get to this sugya and look at the moron, it's many chapters in, right? But Rav Nassim seems to go intense on the first page of his understanding of Lukat Elokus. Well, and I want to understand what you think the reason is, why he does that.
Well, he said,
why not mirror Rav Nachman?
Well, he said because he focused on our weaknesses. You know, the Nachman, you know, said a lot of Torahs, and he understood from Nachman. He says you should focus on our weaknesses, and our weaknesses is we feel hopelessness. Many people give up Yiddishkeit often not because of so much of the Yetzirah, as you know, driven by the desires, as much more as being depressed than hopelessness, and there's no hope for me, and there's you know. So he's encouraged a lot. People should, and the truth is, the more you do this, you'll see you'll be full of life. You won't have to take drugs. Life will be a drug. Many people need to take to feel full of life. The fact is that you follow this advice and you find the good points, your life will be full of you love life. See, what holds back people often loving life is because we all have things we don't like about ourselves. There's certain things that there's things there that annoy you, and you know deep down how much annoys you, and you hope no one knows about it and no one's looking, or even from your spouse you hide it, you know, things that we're not comfortable with it, and we get sort of focused on the negative things. He keeps on saying, focus on the good things. So then you get up. Yes, I have goodness in myself. That's, you have to do your mental exercise. You have to tell yourself, look at every person has to find the nekudas that is about themselves. The fact that he davens, the fact that he gets up and makes sure that he makes a living to support his wife and children. That is a great thing. Or the fact that he wants, looking for a shidduch, or the fact is, every good deed that you do is a great thing. But you have to, this is not a speech that I give here, it's going to help you guys. You got to do this. It's homework you got to do. You got to focus on the good things. The more you do it, see, the more you do it, the more inner peacefulness you have. The more you get along with people better. People who have a hard time getting with others because they're really agitated and it sort of comes out from all the cracks of you. But when you are focused, we all have and feel great about ourselves. Then all of a sudden, everyone around us is great. What happened? They're always the same, the people around us. When you feel good about yourself, you feel everyone good about around you too. So to do this, the Nelson explains, you have to find the good points about yourself. And focus on the good points. And not let go of it.
I know for myself, that one challenge I have is that simply by listing or thinking about my good points, I notice the heart doesn't arouse anything. And then I'm not doing anything, so I'll stop focusing on the good. Is the goal eventually that by thinking about the good?
Yes, you find you will. If you keep on thinking, you feel down, you feel that it's not so bad. See, not always do we need it. But very often when we go through a period where you wake up in the morning or you say to yourself, how am I going to face this day? How is my davening going to be? You know what I mean? I'm going to cut corners from both sides, from four sides of my davening. Or I'm going to daven like a mensch, that's, if you tell yourself that the good points, you focus on the points, that, you get in touch with the goodness of it. Now he says a very, very, very powerful thing. I hope I'll be able to explain the next piece. The Gemara says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, Dovid HaMelech had a kinoi on top in his bed. I know they translate a kinoi, a harp, but no one really knows what a kinoi is because it's an instrument that had strings, but when the wind blew, it also played music. So I'm not sure exactly. People who try to, historians of music try to figure this out what it was. But the Gemara said that he had a kinoi above his bed, and the kinoi above his bed had hatched by his window, and when Riech Tzifonis, the north wind would blow exactly midnight, it would wake David the Melech up, and he would get out of bed. It's amazing how the Gemara brings, the Zohar is even much more great length, talks about Dovid HaMelech getting up midnight. And he's getting up midnight with a harp. It was in the north wind. And the Gemara says it has five strings, you say in English? Five strings it had. It's amazing that in the Zohar it says the five strings represents Chamishachim Shetoyra. It represents the five chapters in Tehillim. Tehillim is divided into five books too. It represents deep, deep thing. So Nelson says, what is the secret of the midnight chatzos? What is this all about? The Zohar says, what happens is that till midnight, the din, at midnight, when it turns midnight, that's when the sort of things start changing. And the biggest rachman, compassion, good things, happens at the midnight. The Rizal said to his Talmidim that if you get up at midnight and study Kabbalah, you'll understand the Kabbalistic learning. Most people, you guys have a Kabbalah center here, they don't know what they're talking about, honestly. Kabbalah is not something that, if you're not holy, you understand what you're saying. It's very, very deep. It's extremely deep. And the Rizal said, if you do Tikkun Chatzos, You'll have help from Hashem to understand the deep meaning of it. So, what Ramesson is explaining, it says, Riech Tzofayim, the northern wind. There's another pasuk says, Ki Mitzufayim, from the north comes the bad. Sort of the bad things come from the north. Because there's a part of a wind that blows, the north comes the bad. We have a Yetzirah. But when you get up midnight, that represents the Chatzos of midnight, that midnight Chatzos brings a wind of the north wind that makes music. Remember, in the beginning I explained that this Torah is called a Zamru, because Nachman explained, when you find good points about yourself, you're creating songs. A Zamru Lalekai Beoidi. Singing and Chassidus and reading. Nothing with Chassidus, Zman B'Smigdash, was very important. If you're very down, a good song will pick you up. But finding the good points and collecting the spook point becomes a niggun. So from the north comes a bad spirit, but when you do what David HaMelech did, he had a kinoi that got up in midnight. Midnight represents getting up and doing the right. Doesn't mean you should get up, man. It's a, be a great merit if you get up midnight, but the fact getting up, and see, when you get up in the morning, most of us, I imagine, push the snooze button at least once or twice. Someone told me, by him it's 2 hours. Whoa. But you know what I mean? But most of us, you know, unless you have small children, they wait. They are, you know, then you got to get out of bed if your baby's coming. But the reality is, the real, real is, we don't get up in the morning with this zest. It takes time to come. David Melech was very mad to do it exactly Chatzos, because that's the best time to awaken. David is called David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. You know what that means? David the Melech never slept more than 60 neshimas, 60 breaths, because he never wanted to taste death. He was full of life. That's why David the Melech is still alive. I mean, he's dead, but his spirit is with us all the time. David Melech Chai V'Kayam, I mean, that's life. As I explained last week, there's life and there's life. We know sometimes you walk around like zombies. You know, you do what you gotta do, you have to do. I don't feel living. Sometimes people, I once said it in public, I said, you know, maybe a few weeks of the year, someone screamed out, Rabbi, how about 8 months of the year? I mean, some people, unfortunately, sometimes months go by, they don't feel like alive. I mean, you have to do it to yourself to become alive. And this is what he explains the Chatzos. Chatzos means in the middle of the night it starts getting light. And the Indian of Tikkun Chatzos was to get yourself up in the morning. And he says another profound thing, a very, very profound thing. He says, Koyu Berubo Nishmo. And the Tikkun Chatzos, we say that we hear the voice of Rochel. Rochel is crying. Koyu Berubo Nishmo. Rochel Mavake Al Beneyu. Rochel cries on her children. That means there's tears that's being shed at midnight, because often when we are so removed from Kedusha, deep down your soul is screaming. We don't hear it. But your soul is tormented when it doesn't get fed spiritually. Just like your body. See, I always tell myself, the unfairness of this world is, if you don't take care of your body, boy, is he going to let you know. Imagine you don't eat. And you tell him, okay, calm down, in 2 hours you'll eat. And he's going to scream. You know, you have a child that just puts in a tantrum, it doesn't give up. Your body's a spoiled child. If you don't take care of it, boy, does he let you know. Your soul is not that way. You know, unfortunately, you didn't daven, you didn't learn. No one says, you know, I can't go to sleep. My soul is screaming. It doesn't have. Boy, do you sleep well. You know, you're sleeping better. You know, you're depressed, then you go into bed, and you sleep even better. You don't hear the soul screaming. That's because we don't hear the soul. But in reality, the soul is screaming. Koy beruma nishma. It's begging. Sometimes it breaks through, and you hear it. You know, there is people who meditate, who literally, the Rizal says, could hear the soul talk to them. There is such a concept. But sometimes you do, and it wakens you up. That's Koyach B'Ruma Nishma. The Tikkun Chatzos gives the person the Koyach. But every person in their situation, when you feel overwhelmed, I am so far from Hashem, so far spiritually, don't be afraid and scream to Hashem. Says Rebbein Shloim, where am I? And where are you? By just asking the question, we later learn he has a whole Torah, you also get close to Hashem. But Kippon, he explains the Chatzos, that, and it says, it's a very interesting, there's a very, very, another interesting Gemara, and he tries to explain it in a very complicated way. And I'm going to try to explain it, what Reb Nosson says here. The Gemara says, David says, B'chatzos alaylu, I get up, Hukim l'hoidisloch, I get up to thank Hashem. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu did not know when Chatzos was. An interesting Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kachatzos, approximately a mid. Now, if David the Melech knew when Chatzos was, Moshe Rabbeinu surely knew what Chatzos was. So the Gemara has a few answers. A very interesting answer. The Gemara says he knew when Chatzos was, but if the firstborn would have died 1 minute before that, then people would have said, ah, he missed it. You know, people are that way. You know, every firstborn died, but you know, it happened 1 minute before Chatzos. Yeah, he's off. Yeah, it means nothing. So Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what, the Gemara has a few answers. But Reb Nosson explains a very, very profound Chassidic way he explains this. Says that there's a deep secret of Chatzos. Now let me explain. Where does the Chatzos start? Very, very, very profound thing he says. When Avraham Avinu ran after the Malachim, you know there was a war. Let me just go back. There's a war in the Chumash where four Malachim were fighting the five kings, and the four Malachim won, and then they captured Lot. Lot is Sodom is captured. So Avraham went to chase after the kings to redeem Lot. Now Lot, let's take this apart. Lot liked evilness. Why did he move to Sodom? You know the story. Avraham and the shepherds of Avraham, the shepherds of Lot didn't get along. They were fighting. Avraham said to his nephew, "My dear nephew, I love you, but you know this cannot go on. Our shepherds are fighting. I think you should go east, I'll go west." And so Lot decided to go to Sodom. Sodom was, you all know, was unbelievable evil. The opposite of chesed. If you gave someone food to eat, they killed you. Gave tzedakah, you were killed. The Gemara says there's a girl who gave bread, they took it and dipped it in honey, tied it to a tree, and the bees stung her to death. I mean, they were evil of evilness. And they were promiscuous. So the Gemara says, Lot liked a little bit of promiscuity. But so he went over there. The proof is that he liked promiscuity. I hate to go into such details, the Gemara says, because the end was Lot slept with his two daughters. He got his two daughters pregnant. The Gemara says, this is what happens when a person is promiscuous. So Avraham went at midnight, and he chased the Malachim to save Lot. Why did he go and do such a dangerous thing? So the Rizal says an incredible, profound thing. In Lot was the Neshama of Rus, which Rus came over the Melech. You know, Rus is a grandchild of Egla Melech Moiv, from Moiv. In Lot, Avraham Avinu, there's a Neshama there that has to become Jewish. And not just he would have to become Jewish, this Neshama. King David and King Shlomo and Melech Mashiach is going to come out there. So in this Ra, imagine this Lot was a... you know what Lot is? So he says Lot means? Lashon Letusa, curse. In Aramaic, Lot means a curse. Lot was not such a... He went to live with Saddam. He liked promiscuity. And in the darkness of darkness, Avraham says, I have to go in the middle of the night, Chatzos, to redeem this soul that's over there. Because in all darknesses, there's always good. See, we can't appreciate light unless we have dark. This is very, very important. I'm going to say this again. You cannot appreciate dark light unless you have dark. You cannot appreciate sweet unless you have bitter. I always say over a story, and I'm going to say the story again, I've said it often. It's such a powerful story. I met once a couple who was, and I met this couple, and I thought they were newlyweds. Who was standing next to me, and I thought, and also he looked a lot much older than she did. I thought maybe, you know. And I'm a little bit blunt guy, start talking to them, and he tells me, no, we're married 11 years. And he tells me this frightening story. What's this frightening story? He says that his wife could not get married because his wife suffered from a syndrome, involuntary movement, Tourette syndrome, you know, Tourette's. But you know, and she couldn't, she was secular, no one dated her, she became religious, no one was interested in her. So she gave up the idea of ever having a husband. And this young man, unfortunately, his wife turned, had dementia as a young lady, she had to be institutionalized. He needed a wife and a mother for 3 teenage daughters. So when the shidduch was, you know, he says, you know, might not be most attractive lady, but I need a mother, and I need a, and he married her, and she was so appreciative. She would get up in the morning, say Moi Daniel Fanecho, and say, thank Hashem, I have a husband. It's because she felt so appreciative about him, he did anything for her, whatever she wanted. And this was 11 years after we were married, because it acted like newlyweds, because in her life she never dreamt of having her married. She was so appreciative of this finally shout out, even though it was tough, it's not your 3 teenagers, and it was rough helping them. It doesn't make a difference when you appreciate, when she had such a dark thing before that, she appreciated being married. If you appreciate it, if one spouse appreciates, the other one gives back. The Nelson explains over here that without darkness you can't have light. And it's one of the deep secrets why Mashiach had to be in Lot. The neshama of Mashiach had to be in the darkness of Lot and Moav, and from that had to come out, because Mashiach will take all this, the kudos of the entire world, the good points, and collect it. It's a very deep thing. You understand that the Mashiach power will be, you know, how is Mashiach going to take over the world? Mashiach's koyach of taking over the world will be by all the goodness he'll attract to himself. He'll be able to find the goodness in everyone, because the soul of Mashiach comes from Rus, which comes from Lot, which comes from a darkness, and in the darkness there was light. And in the darkness that is before Mashiach comes, Mashiach will be able to attract all the goodness and bring the light out of them. So, I want to leave you with all that, if, you know, because next week we're going to start the next chapter, so I want to tell you all, if you want to enjoy life, it's a simple love life, you want to have to fall in love with life, you want to get up in the morning and say, yeah, I'm alive, not get up in the morning and say, I'm hanging in there, you know, I'm just holding on, barely holding on. You want to love life, you should follow this Torah. You should find the good points about yourself, because part of we wake up and walk around like a zombie, because there's part of us we don't like. We don't like this, we don't like that, we're annoyed at this. You know, we should be in love with the goodness. Yes, there's things that we need to work on, no question about it, we can get better, but that doesn't hold back that we shouldn't celebrate today. See, I always tell myself, you know, today was a day we all lived. If you did not smile today, who lost out?
You.
Yourself. You're the one who lost. If you could replay today's day, you know, just replay and tell yourself, you know, I could have smiled, got people around me more happier, would have been better. So you could see, another thing you have to remember, what Nasser says in other places, you could control part of your life. When people feel hopelessness, they have a hopeless thinking, you know, it's hopeless. We have no control what is going to happen to us, but you can control how you react to it. You have to find the goodness. And you could fake it till you make it too. Shall that, you know, not always I'm in the mood of smiling. People ask me, how come you smile? Not always. You think I don't get up and then I'm in my tough days? You got to smile. You got to fake it till you make it. So the lesson of this whole Lakita Halachas was, and he says this over and over in the Sefer and other parts, that it's incredibly important to focus on the goodness, because that gives the strength for a person to move on. See, we are, you know, if I want to just add something. You know, we are blessed beyond imagination. We are blessed. No one had it so good as we have it since Adam Rishon was kicked out of Gan Eden. None of us go into the fields and plow. You know what I mean? And you got to, you know, take the wheat and grind it. You know, most of us, you know, we would like to have more money. Who doesn't? You know, nobody's always going to catch. If you have, believe me, when people have a lot of money, then they catch about this and they catch about that. Unhappiness is around the world. It's evenly spread. Many of you think, well, if I win the jackpot, then I'll be smiling. I promise you, 6 weeks later, you're going to be kretching the same kretch. That has nothing to do how much money you have, because we are blessed. We are blessed that we live in a weather in California. What could be better? But you know, besides that, you know, everyone drives a car, and everyone, you know, we have food, and we have medicine, and we have medicine to help a person, a heart transplant, and there's for emotional medication, and people could get it. We are so blessed. Why don't we walk around smiling? We should get up and scream, how lucky we are, we're living now. Can you imagine? Your great grandfather couldn't even imagine what does it mean getting, I always say this, Marshall, getting into a car and, you know, try to tell me, get into a box and it takes, let's say, it takes about 2 weeks to get San Diego with a horse and buggy, about 50 miles an hour, and he's got to stop every few miles. It took a long. I tell him, no, great grandpa, you know, I'm going to get into a box and in 2 hours I'll be in San Diego. Now, guess what? I'm going to have a 15 band music playing there. You can have classic music, you can have rock, you can have, I don't know, this teenage music which makes a lot of noise, whatever you want. Whatever you want, you're going to have. And if it's hot out there, I'll cool the place. If it's too cold, I'll heat the place. Can't imagine what you're talking about. Can't even imagine. And this box, I'm going to have one, and my wife is going to have it, and if you're a little wealthy, your teenage daughter is going to have another one. You can't even imagine. You know, we are really, there's so much to talk about, but we don't walk around this way. We walk around thinking that I could have had this better, that could be better, that should change, if, and our life gets wasted with our fantasies, not living. You wake up in the morning, well, it could be better this way, and I wish this, and I wish that. So your whole day gets wasted on the wishful thinking. It's like all day long your mind is preoccupied. You got to do your work, you got to do this, and when you're driving home, I wish this would be different, I wish this would be different. You're not enjoying the day that you're living. You're not grabbing life to take in what you have right now, because your mind is either preoccupied with wishful thinking or preoccupied with what happened. I'm annoyed at this person, I'm annoyed at that person, I have to get back at this person, and this person insulted me, and this person hurt my feelings there. Your life is wasted. So I want to encourage you all to follow this great Rav Nachman's advice and find in yourself good points, and you see, you'll fall in love with life, and you'll fall in love with Hashem. You'll have God in your heart. Okay, thank you.